When psychopaths are the policymakers in government and the CEOs of big business, the way they think and reason, their morality, becomes the common culture and morality of the population over which they preside. When this happens, the mind of the population is infected in the way a pathogen affects a physical body. The only way to protect ourselves against this pathological thinking is to inoculate ourselves against it, and that is done by learning as much as possible about the nature of psychopathy and its influence upon us. Essentially, this particular disease thrives in an environment where its very existence is denied, and this denial is planned and deliberate. And that quote comes from Laura Knight Jadzik. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Now, when you look at the world today, folks, what you see is that virtually every country in the Western world is in fact run by psychopaths. And this might seem to be a strange thing to say, and you might think that I'm generalizing here, but really it is true, because when you look at our world, it would appear that no matter how much effort we undertake personally or undertake within our communities, we never seem to be able to implement any action that affects positive change on a global scale. I mean, no matter what we do in our neighborhoods, no matter what we do within our individual countries even, it would seem that there is always this war, there is always bloodshed, there is always starvation, homelessness. There are always all of the problems that we now see afflicting our society. These problems just persist, no matter what we do. And this has basically gone on since the dawn of civilization as we know it. So the question is, why does this happen? Why does the world remain in the state that it's in? And folks, the reason it remains in this state is because the world is run by psychopaths, psychopathic families, psychopathic bloodlines that have all managed to stay in control of the world and always maintained their positions of power right throughout modern history. And these are the bloodlines that I've often talked about that go way back to Egyptian times, go back through the Roman Empire, through the Babylonian empires, and way, way back, folks. It's the same bloodlines that have always been in charge of the place. And when we look back at history, it seems very unlikely that these psychopathic bloodlines actually were in control of the planet in prehistorical periods. Well, prior to what we know as modern history anyway. And it seems incomprehensible because such psychopathy would never have allowed the construction of things such as the pyramids. Monuments and devices of such precision and spiritual and cosmological accuracy could never be the product of a psychopathic mind. And yet, when you look at our society today, it becomes clear that no matter how sophisticated our science appears to be, we don't see anything that compares in any way to some of the magnificent structures that have been left behind by the ancients. So this indicates that this psychopathic mindset, this psychopathic state of the overall human consciousness, has not always existed on the planet the way it does now. There was once a time when humanity was quite sane, it would seem, and operated within rules and parameters that actually harmonized with our surroundings rather than conflicted with them. So the question becomes, why is the world in this state? How did this happen? And how has the world remained in the state that it's in, with this psychopathic consciousness and this basically psychopathic society, folks? I mean, really, when you look at it, there's not very much that our society does that is particularly sane. And this is absolutely personified by the system itself, the system that is in place that controls everybody. And really, all of this can be beautifully outlined in the quote that I used to open this show. And that quote, incidentally, comes from an interview that was conducted with a lady called Laura Knight Jadzik and a man called Henry Z, who are the editors of a book called Political Ponerology, A Science on the Nature of Evil, Adjusted for Political Purposes, by Andrzej Lobaczewski. And it's an interesting story, this book, folks. It was actually written way back in the 1950s, but was suppressed for a very long time. And it was pointed out to me by a Facebook friend, actually, and I've since ordered the book. And what the book attempts to do is it actually provides you with the mechanism to understand the psychopathic bloodlines that run the world from a psychologist's perspective. And the book was actually written for the academic world. It was actually written as a reference manual for psychologists, but it has been suppressed for a very long time. And I've actually got a link to that interview on thecrowhouse.com at the moment. And the link is called The Trick of the Psychopath's Trade. And I suggest you go and have a look at that interview. It's quite fascinating, and it explains why the world remains in the state it's in from a very, very easy-to-understand perspective. And I think it could be a very useful tool. You could print this interview up, and you could perhaps show it to a few of the more academic people you may know. And it may help them understand why the world is in the state it's in, and it may help them understand that a conspiracy does actually exist. There is actually a ruling caste. And things and events that happen in our world today are in fact very much controlled and very much staged. And what we're seeing is the furthering of a specific agenda designed to reach a specific conclusion. And this has been a very long-going agenda, but it has been the result of these psychopathic bloodlines that have been able to maintain their hold over society and civilization itself for an extremely long time. And one of the things that helps them maintain this control is the overall denial of their very existence by most of the society, because most of the society only get the information that's fed to them by the television or the newspapers, and these institutions are very much controlled, and they simply don't talk about what goes on behind the curtains. And so most people believe, well, if I haven't seen it in the newspapers or the television, then it can't be very important, and there can't be much weight to it, because if there was, well, they could never cover something this big up. But folks, when you have literally a handful of people controlling all global media, then in fact it's very, very easy to cover these sorts of things up indeed. And again, what we see here is virtually the same denial. See, people are in denial of the fact of how easy it is to cover this stuff up by simply controlling the media. And when you look at the media in Australia here, for example, you find that it's all controlled by two people. News Limited or Fairfax, that controls all of Australia's media. So to control the Australian media, you only really need to make two phone calls. So it's really not hard, folks. It's really, really not hard to do. And the media, the controlled media, denies the existence of any criminal cabal at the top or any ruling bloodline or any of the psychopathic nature of society, of government, and the ruling classes themselves. And so we believe that such things do not exist, because most of society lives in absolute denial of even the possibility of such things being true, because this is the way they're trained to think. And it's the same old training, folks. It's the training that happens as soon as you're born, through all of the stuff that you're subject to through your childhood, all the Disney movies and all the stuff that they feed you. It's the training that you receive through school. You're told not to daydream and not to think about such things. Your job is to learn how to be a good little cog in the big machine. And when you're out working in the big machine, they make sure that you are so busy and so caught up with trivia or distracted by games or flash and pizzazz or sex or whatever they can brainwash you with, that you simply won't notice what's going on. And unfortunately, these are very effective methods, and by using them, the ruling elite have been very, very successful in maintaining the control that they've exerted over the world for so long. But things are getting a little bit in your face now, and that, I believe, is what is causing people to finally wake up. Because it gets to the stage where it's so in your face that, well, you'd have to be asleep not to see it. So the question then becomes, well, now we have the information, what do we do with it? Well, folks, as you all know, I am very much about action and activism, and I very much believe in the power of community. And what I've been doing personally in my own life where I live is I've been burning lots of DVDs and giving them out to people. I've been passing on information as much as I can to people. And I make sure that I always lead by example. And these are things that I've said to you so many times now on the air, it's ridiculous that I'm even saying them again. But I say them because they're true. And I believe that once people have the information in their hands, if it's presented to them in a concise enough manner, it will cause a penny to drop. And they will look around them and they will take notice of their surroundings, possibly for the first time in their lives. And I believe that each of us who is awake has the ability to do this. But of course, there are different levels of awakeness. I know people who are vegetarian who say anybody who eats meat could not possibly be awake, and yet they fail to treat other people as themselves. They profit from others. They often are quite disdainful and sarcastic and rude to people who disagree with their opinions, and yet they claim wakefulness. And you'll find other people who are quite spiritually active, who've read all the right books and do all the right meditations and hold all the right crystals and burn all the right incense, but they basically live in a bubble of spiritual narcissism, and they too call themselves awake, and they're nice to people around them, but it's kind of a fake nicety. And we see lots of people like this, but what you can do when you are confronted with people such as this is you can lead by example. You can see them for what they are, but you can also stand in what you are and always be nice and kind and generous and giving to these people and show them how life can change if you adopt these attributes and if you start treating other people as yourself. Treating other people as yourself is really the key to the whole thing, folks. It is. It's absolutely the way we change everything. It's the most simplest thing to do, and yet the action itself contains so much power, so much immeasurable power. And it absolutely does work, folks. I'm living proof that it does work. And the example I've set for many of my old friends and many of the members of my family and the people around me has rubbed off on them, and it's changed them. It's changed their perspective. You see, you want to be able to share information to people, but it's no good getting into arguments with them, and it's no good putting them down if they disagree with you. You have to converse with them on these topics, not argue with them on the topics. If people have opposing views to you, try not to get your blood up and argue. Always attempt to see their perspective, and always give validity to their perspective, because their perspective is based on the information that they've been able to assimilate up to that point. So of course it's a valid opinion. Even if it's a wrong opinion, it's a valid opinion because it's subjective to what influences these people have had. So you've got to look at things that way. And so you converse with people. You bring people information that is new to them. You help them broaden their manner of thinking. You don't try to cram information down their throats and say, if you don't believe me, you're an idiot, and if you disagree with me, you're a lesser person. That's really not how to conduct an intelligent flow of information. And unfortunately, that's what many people do. Many people will attack and belittle anybody that they meet who has a differing of opinion to them. And even when people attempt to do this to you, you can circumvent that attack against you by giving validity to their perspective, by simply stepping into their shoes and realizing that, okay, I've had these influences in my life up to this point, and this is what I think because of the information I've been privy to. So, therefore, if you were in that position of that person, what would it take to crack the shell? What would it take to perhaps change your perspective a little bit? And all you need is a crack in the armor, folks. You don't need to turn on a fire hose and drown them with information. You just need to put a little chink in the armor to cause them to question their manner of thinking. And you do this by giving validity to their perspective to begin with. And why wouldn't you give validity to their perspective, folks? Because we are literally each other in Lakesh. And if you were offering your perspective to someone else, I'm sure that you would want your perspective to be seen as valid. In fact, the fact that you're even offering information to someone means that you wish them to see your perspective as being valid, otherwise you wouldn't be offering them information in the first place. But you've got to understand, it's an equal exchange of energies. It's an equal exchange of people. You're not better than them because you know stuff that they don't, and they're not more asleep than you. They're not a sheeple. They're not a drone. They're not any of the things we might call some of the people that exist within the Matrix. What they are is a beautiful, wonderful, valid individual who has a valid and unique perspective of what they know as reality, and they need to be treated accordingly. Because that's the only way you're ever going to be able to get people to wake up, folks, is if they wake up on their own. If you can provide them a doorway, but it's up to them to walk through. Because real truth is not told, real truth is realized. This has been said by so many people so many times and in so many ways, but it's absolutely true. And someone will always reach that profound knowing of something to be right if they are able to get to that point by themselves. So all you need do is provide the pathway. Just simply open the doorway. And the first step in doing this, I believe, is to see them as valid and see their perspective as valid, to understand why they have the perspective that they have. And don't look down on them, love them for having the perspective that they have. Because each person is worthy of love, and each person deep down inside is a beautiful person. I really believe this. I mean, sure, we may have some psychopathic bloodlines who run the place who may not be quite so beautiful, but even in regard to them, we don't need to hurt these people. We just need to simply disentangle their hold over us. Because that's unfortunately the way with psychopaths. They often maneuver themselves into a position where they are controlling other people, because that is the nature of their mind. That is the nature of their whole personality. They like to be in control. They like to be able to manipulate others and play society like a puppet show. And that's very much what they do. But lately we have seen a lot of people waking up to the fact that this puppet show exists, and there can be no denial, folks, that people are waking up, and they're waking up in droves. I think the release of films such as the recent release of the film Expendable has very much helped with this awakening process, and indeed there are a lot of people out there now, folks, who are speaking out about what's going on, and they're bringing information to the people in very rational and very concise ways. And as I've said, it is getting more and more in your face. And so people cannot help but wake up. And the interesting thing about the system, folks, that enslaves us, is where the system actually comes from and how the system has been maintained for so long. And of course, and as I've often said, folks, when you look at the system, what you find is that all roads lead to Rome. Now, some people may say, no, no, all roads lead to Zionism. But folks, what Zionism is basically the political arm of the Roman Empire. Because the Roman Empire is controlled by the Khazarian line, and this is the line that goes way back through the bloodlines. In fact, if you look at the Roman Empire of today, and you look at the United States of today, what you see in the United States is Roman buildings. You see the Statue of Liberty, which is a modern depiction of the ancient goddess Semiramis, or Semiramis, as some people would prefer to call her. And if you look at the structures of the buildings, I think I mentioned this on the last show, if you look at the structures of the Babylonian buildings and the goddesses and the statues that they used, and then you look at the Roman Empire and the goddesses and the statues that they used, then you look at the Vatican Empire and what they use, and you look at the American Empire and what they use, and it is an empire, folks. Don't think the United States is anything but an empire, because it is an empire. But what it is it is the same empire that has existed since Babylonian times. It's just kind of gone through. The Church of Babylon became the Church of Rome, and that permeated through virtually all the Western world. All of the laws that our societies are based on all have ecclesiastic origin. The fact that we still even use the Roman calendar is very indicative of this control that Rome has exercised over the world. But again, this is just the mechanism. The Vatican Empire and the Vatican systems that have been put in place, the calendrical system, the monetary system, the banking system, all of these things are simply mechanisms that are put in place, and the Vatican system is how they are controlled. And the reason I'm pointing all of this out is because it just makes it easier for people to be able to see how long this mechanism has actually been in place. It's been in place for literally thousands of years, folks. And the Vatican and the people who compiled the modern-day Bible are very much responsible for hiding this information from the masses and replacing it with their own version of reality. But they've left encoded within their system so much stuff that actually gives them away. So many astronomical references within the Bible, and even a lot of the artwork, folks, a lot of the artwork in some of the big chapels, some of the artwork in the Sistine Chapel, lots of this stuff all points to Egyptian cosmology. It points to things such as the Orion Nebula, which is very, very big in Egyptian cosmology, the belt stars of Orion, and always these references to Orion. It's all there encoded within the systems. It's all there right in front of your faces. You know, the Templars are involved. I mean, most of the whole Mason system, the Freemason system, is actually a Templar system. And this has kind of superimposed itself through all of the architecture and all the structures of our societies, all of which are designed to channel and manipulate energy, and all designed to perpetuate the psychopathic nature of our societies. And these people literally are psychopaths, folks. All the ruling families are connected. I mean, this is a given. All you have to do is look at the bloodlines and you find that they're all connected. I mean, what's the chances of Barack Obama being directly linked to Dick Cheney and Winston Churchill through bloodlines? I mean, it's not very likely, folks. And there are people out there who will argue, well, ultimately we're all relatives because we all come back to Adam and Eve, which is complete poppycock. And we are not all relative, folks, because even when you look at the Rh positive and Rh negative blood strains that exist on this earth, what you find is that there are two very, very distinct species on this planet, two very distinct species of human, because Rh positive and Rh negative are actually very, very different species, which each have their roots in a very different gene. So when you understand how this mechanism works and you begin to see that it's right there in front of your faces, even by virtue of the architecture that exists in all these places and by virtue of the calendar and the legal systems and the social structure, it all becomes very, very easy to see. And so when the mechanism becomes clear to you, then it of course becomes possible for you to extricate yourself from the mechanism. But you can't do that until you know it's there. That's why so many people bring this information to you and explain how these bloodlines operate and how this Church of Babylon, which has carried itself all the way through to modern day times and has recently disguised itself as the Christian Church controlled by the Vatican, actually works to exercise the control it does over every aspect of most people's daily lives without them ever knowing it. Because it's only by becoming aware of this mechanism that you're able to defeat or extricate yourself from this mechanism. As I was speaking earlier about the psychopath, it's the state of denial of this part of human consciousness and the state of denial that exists that this mechanism is real that allows the perpetuation of the mechanism. So you have to become aware that it is actually there, because that's the only way we can ever do anything about it, folks. And that's what's so good about things like the film Expendable, because it exposes the mechanism as being real. And it shows you the collusion that exists between government and police and media. So it's kind of laid the workings bare, folks. And there's going to be another film coming out soon, which I believe will even help to expose this even more. And hopefully to such a degree that even a child could see it. And admittedly, folks, the film Expendable only really exposes the microcosm in as much as it simply explains the corruption and the system that is in place in Australia and the way that system is used to manipulate the minds of people, the way it's used to manipulate the fate of people. I mean, of course, it doesn't deal with the greater system, the macrocosmic system that covers the whole globe that is run through the Vatican system, but it does expose the way it works on a local level, and it's the same in virtually all countries, folks. And so that's the good thing about it, because using this information, we can kind of start locally to address things globally. And we do really need to start this local process happening, folks. I got an email from someone the other day who apparently got a letter from his local council saying he isn't allowed to grow mint in the nature strip out the front of his house. Of course, everybody else is allowed to grow any other plants, just as long as they're not something that you can eat. Not something medicinal, not any herb, nothing that's useful, only decorative flowers and grasses. That's all we're allowed, folks, in the nature strips. It's all got to be decorative. Heaven forbid we should actually do anything or grow anything that may be useful. And so it's just going from the sublime to the ridiculous. And something else, actually, that people need to be very much aware of is the big test that is being conducted next week by the FBI. I believe it's on the 8th of this month. And this may cause drastic changes to the internet as we know it. There's actually a post in the Crow House forums, I think it's on the general board, by a forum member by the name of Jimmy, who's actually the moderator of the Crow House forums. And he has a thread there, and I believe it's titled, "Look up your favorite site's internet IP address now." And he goes through instructions on how you can do this. And I would suggest that people do this just in case there is some problem with the internet and the internet as we know it disappears. And this is, of course, just in case the internet DNS server change happens to coincide with some sort of false flag event that may be brought to the world by the powers that be on March the 8th while they are conducting their test. I mean, such things are most certainly not outside the realm of possibility. And looking at the track record of these people, they're actually very much within the realm of probability. So we'll just have to wait and see on that one, but it might be a good idea to save a few IP addresses of sites that you are particularly fond of. I mean, who knows, folks? They have been wanting to stop the flow of information that is occurring on the internet for quite some time, and it seems very likely that they may just use this opportunity to do so. Though I think it will be very difficult for them to bring down the internet as we know it, I'm really not sure whether such a thing is even possible, but it wouldn't surprise me if they have a damn good shot at it. But I think it's break time here, folks, so we'll leave it there for now, and I will rejoin you to continue our conversation in a few minutes. I hope you are enjoying the show today, and thanks for listening. And welcome back, folks. Now, this year is a very important year, as I'm sure many of you know. Personally, I believe 2012 to be the year of the tipping point, the year when we will simply have to make up our mind which direction we want humanity to go in. And I think there are going to be many deciding factors. I believe human consciousness is very much in a state of expansion, and humankind is definitely in a state of evolution. I believe the Earth and the solar system itself are in a state of evolution. And the direction that evolution takes will be very much determined by the energetic state people are in. Absolutely, there will be a transition, but the transition will be something that people need to participate in. And by that participation, they themselves will choose which direction their own personal evolution will take. And by evolution, folks, please understand I'm certainly not referring to the Darwinian version of evolution, but everything evolves because to evolve is to change. And I believe human consciousness is very much in a transitionary state at this very moment. And it seems that the resident gecko agrees with me. You've just got to love nature, folks. It always seems to chime in at exactly the moment that it's needed, right on cue. But yes, folks, human consciousness and humankind itself is most certainly in a state of transition and evolution, and there are certain forces at work that wish to control the direction this evolution will take, and what it really comes down to is the choices we each decide to make in the face of this. And of course it is a personal choice, folks, and what the choice is really of, ultimately, when it comes right down to the nitty-gritty, is a choice between the emotion of love and the emotion of fear. You see, almost everything we do comes down to those two emotions. Some might say, well, no, it doesn't. Sometimes it comes down to an emotion of self-service, but ultimately this comes from a state of fear. So really, it's all about love and fear. And when we get to very important moments in our life and very important and transitional times in our history, the direction the entire human race takes always comes down to a choice between love and fear. Either we succumb to the system out of fear for what it may do to us, or we stand up against the system out of love for ourselves and love for our fellow humankind. And it's always been the same way all throughout history, folks. And as I said, it's always a personal choice. And it's important, the personal choice that you make in this regard, because your personal choice will in turn affect the choices of others. And this is why it's so important to lead by example. Because if you are not in fear of the system because you realize it's simply a fictional entity, and you realize that all people on this planet, all people in the world, are created equal, all have equal standing, all have equal power, and you realize that there's nothing to fear from anybody around you because they're all the same as yourself, you realize that it's actually quite easy to stand up against the system. I mean, I do it all the time, really. It's got to the stage where the system doesn't really bother me much anymore because it's kind of used to me standing up to it, and so it kind of leaves me alone. It's almost like the authorities have put a big red ring around my name and they've decided not to approach me. Although I'm sure this will probably change at some time in the future, but for the moment it just kind of seems that way because I have absolutely no fear of this system. I really don't. I see the people within the system, who operate within the system, as simply being myself. They have no more power than me unless I choose to give them that power. And I can take that power away from them simply by empowering the other people around me. And the more you empower the community around you, and the more you lead by example within the community, the less power those who control the community have by default. This is why you don't actually have to stand up in violent revolution. All you have to do is empower the individuals around you, because when the people of the community are fully empowered, then the control mechanism that currently dictates what the community must do loses all of its power. It simply fades into insignificance, folks. It ceases to exist once the people themselves are empowered in who and what they are. That's the beauty of it, and that's what makes it so difficult for people to see. I still get letters from many people who say, oh, you're working on the side of those who control us because you're promoting non-violence, and we're never going to achieve anything with non-violence. But folks, personally, I believe we're never going to achieve anything with violence. You see, violence is what they want, folks. They understand violence. They know how to deal with violence. And you see, the Gecko agrees with me again, folks. You see, if we get violent, they can simply roll out their police forces, roll out their armed forces, and they know exactly what to do. And from that chaos, they will bring about the order that they want. But that is not the order that we want. We're only going to achieve what we need to achieve with the power of community. And when I say we don't need violence, I'm not saying you need to be a pacifist. I've said many, many times that if you are attacked, of course you need to defend yourself, but you only need to exercise enough force to repel the force that has been directed against you. You don't need to then go on the attack. I mean, even if you've got to repel the force that attacks you 50 times and you keep repelling it, eventually it will tire and it will realize that it's not going to get through your defenses. It's not going to get through your barriers, that you are stronger than it is. But because I believe this really is a singularity of consciousness, I believe we are all connected, and I don't wish any harm to those who control society, I just wish them to come home, then I am not prepared to go on the attack and become that which I am fighting against. I'm only ever prepared to exercise enough force to repel the force that's used against me. So don't think I'm saying you need to be passive, because there are times when you will most certainly not need to be passive. You will need to be aggressive, or at least defensive. But as I said, you need to gauge the depth of the retaliation that you take. You need to gauge the amount of force that you're using. And you only ever need enough to repel your attacker and to ensure your own safety and your own steadfastness. And I believe this is how we will change the world. I can't see how we can use violence and aggression to overcome a system that is violent and aggressive, because we're simply applying the same tools, we're applying the same principles that are being used against us. In fact, there is a saying that says, the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. And this can be used in so many contexts, folks. It can be used as far as the political system goes. inasmuch as there is no point entering into the political system in order to change the political system from within the political system, because you won't ever succeed at it if you're operating within those parameters. But also, when you look at the system itself, which is based on violence and aggression, obviously you can't replace it by using violence and aggression, because all you are then doing is replacing the system with more of its own. You're simply taking one dictator from rule and you're replacing them with another. And personally, I don't even think we need government, folks. I think we need self-governance. And I think that we could be very, very successful at self-governance, and we could create quite a wonderful world that way. But people will need to be educated in the true nature of reality, and it may well take a couple of generations to bring about this type of self-autonomy. But I ultimately believe that that is what we need, and that would be the best way for humankind to go. It would do the best thing we could possibly do, folks. And I think the societies that we live in should be more of a Vedic type of society. The Vedic culture used to work very closely with itself and be very supportive of itself and very supportive of the individuals within the society, but it always used to leave room for self-expression, always used to leave room for people to be themselves and to find out who and what they are and to be that to their fullest potential. And I absolutely believe that that is the way we need to go. That is a much more beneficial way for humankind to interact with itself. And really, folks, it's the only way that humankind will ever really grow and ever really evolve into what we should be and what we have the potential of becoming. And it's this self-responsibility and this self-autonomy and this freedom of the individual that has been so restricted within the parameters of our current system. And this has been done very much by design, folks. And as I said, this has taken a long time for us to get to the point that we are currently in. And the tools that humanity needs to empower themselves and to understand reality is one of the most important things that has been removed from human consciousness, removed from human knowledge. The way history was changed and the biblical Roman version of reality was superimposed over it. And folks, the original Bible, before it was compiled by Constantine, was just a series of scrolls and random texts and books. It wasn't ever compiled into one volume. But when they compiled it into one volume, they left a lot of stuff out and they made certain changes to the things that they put together. And you don't have to change very much, folks. You've only got to change a few words here and there and a couple of sentences and a couple of meanings here and there. And you change the entire context and you change the entire message and give people a completely different version of reality and a completely different perspective of reality than what was actually being taught by the great teachers that appear within the pages of the Bible. As I've said before, folks, Christianism has so little to do with the actual teachings of Christ that it beggars belief that they've even called the religion Christian, because modern Christianism in its current form is simply the Roman system. And this is regardless of whatever denomination you belong to. It all has its basis in the Roman system that was brought about by Constantine in around 325 or 365 AD. Because that's where the modern version of the Bible came from. So if you belong to a Christian denomination that uses a modern King James type version of the Bible, then what you are learning is the Roman system. And in fact, this goes for virtually any version of a modern Bible, folks. That's the thing. It isn't just the King James Bible. In fact, the only accurate version of the Bible that probably exists today would be something like the Dead Sea Scrolls, or perhaps the original texts, which are very likely stored in the Vatican, from which the Bible in its current form was actually compiled. And it's important that people understand this and they put things in the right context, because I've met a great many Christians who can see the corruption that exists in every system that controls our society, but they refuse to believe that any such corruption could exist within the church and within the Bible that they are currently using. When in reality, folks, it seems very, very unlikely, extremely unlikely, and virtually impossible that a book that exercises as much influence over people as the Bible would have remained true to its actual message. And actually, all you have to do is start examining this and start researching the texts, and you find that it hasn't remained in its true form, and that the message it delivers is not the message that was intended by the original texts. And really, folks, why people would think that the Bible is the only book that would have remained unscathed to the ravages of the Illuminati really is beyond me. I don't know how people could think such could be the case in any way at all. I mean, why would people ever think that this one book would have survived in its original form? And really it hasn't, folks. I mean, the original form of the Bible is in Hebrew, and each letter in Hebrew has like 7 different meanings, and so it's very much open to interpretation. And it's very easy to change one word or one letter even in the original Hebrew text to create an entirely different meaning. And you don't even really have to change a letter, you just have to mistranslate one letter, and suddenly you've got an entirely different book with an entirely different message. And I truly believe that anybody who actually honors the message of the Christ needs to investigate this. They really need to look into the validity of the texts and ask themselves if anything their church is doing contravenes or contradicts the teachings of Christ. Do the ministers in your church follow the teachings of Christ? Do they walk that path? Because it isn't just about revering this book and waiting for someone to come and save you. It's about actually walking the talk, folks. So if you're not walking the talk, and if your church and your priest is not walking the talk, then how on earth are they truly following the teachings of Christ? And the fact is, folks, that they're not. All they're doing is adhering to the Roman system of control that was put in place by Constantine and that used the original texts as a basis for that system. You see, there's so much truth in the Bible that it becomes incredibly easy to hide the lies that also exist within it. The easiest place to hide a lie, folks, is in the middle of a whole lot of truth. So we're getting close to the end of the show here, folks, and to just change the topic for a little while, I'd like to thank everybody who has responded in such a fantastic manner to the case of Chappelle Corby. The people who have shared the DVD Expendable, the people who shared the emergency broadcast video that I placed on YouTube, and the people who have signed petitions and have written to government ministers and are handing out DVDs, thank you all. It really is wonderful to see such an incredible response. I've got a new link on the Crow House called Sign the Petition to Free Chappelle Corby. If you haven't already signed it, I would urge you to go and do so. I don't particularly place any faith in the value of petitions, folks, but it's still good to sign them because it lets them know that we know what they're doing. And there's actually a new initiative that's being presented by the makers of Expendable as well that I will bring to you on the next show. I've actually been sent the email for it already, but I've been so busy that I just haven't had time to read it. So please don't let up on this, folks. There is a Facebook page called The People for Chappelle Corby. You can go and join that as well. And do work to get the information out to people because it's an extremely important issue. Very interesting that we had a riot in Chappelle's jail last week, right on cue, just as all of this issue is coming to a head. Suddenly we have a huge riot in the jail. And this has, in many ways, provided the excuse the government needs to perhaps bring Chappelle Corby home to Australia, even if she remains incarcerated in Australia for a while, at least it gets her out of that squalid Balinese jail that she's currently in. So I do hope the government seizes this initiative and seizes this opportunity to do the right thing. It may just alleviate some of the pressure that is going to be brought against them for the crimes they've committed in this case. And I've no qualms in saying that, folks, because in the case of Chappelle Corby, the guilty party is actually the Australian Federal Government and the Australian Federal Police. So please do support this initiative and please do not let the wave break. Keep the pressure up and keep spreading this word and keep getting the message out to people. I'd also like to offer my deepest thanks to the people who have sent donations in order to get me up with some sort of DVD duplication process happening. I've got a 15-stack DVD duplicator now. I'm now searching for a printer. And there has been people that have donated to help me get this, which is just absolutely fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because I would not be able to do it without you. I'm still living in my little one-room cabin here, folks. I'm certainly not living the high life on donations. So please do understand that all the donations that I get to the Crow House do go towards spreading this information. Everything I do, folks, is all about spreading this word. This is basically what I devote my life to. And I thank the people who have also sent me stacks of DVDs. I've had people sending me packets of 50 DVDs, and someone sent me a box of 100 DVDs. And this all really helps very much, folks. And so I very much appreciate it. I'm sorry I don't get to answer all of the emails that have been sent to me. And I'm sorry I don't get to answer all the people who do make donations to the website. But I'm sure that you understand that it's very much appreciated. I am going to attempt to make time to answer a lot of very important emails I've received from people in the next week. I'm trying to make that time. It has been quite a busy week for me with the death of my niece last Tuesday, and that has taken a big toll on the family, and it's also taken up a lot of time for me this week. So it's kind of thrown things on the back burner a little bit. And I also very much appreciate the thoughts and sentiments that were sent to me, and I have passed all of these sentiments on to my sister. I also thank all the people that sent flowers to her funeral the day before yesterday. We did receive a lot of flowers from people, and so please accept my sincere thanks and know that your thoughts were very much appreciated on the day. Life sometimes takes strange turns, folks, and I think one of the strangest periods we have ever seen is unfolding before us in the year of 2012. I think we are going to see some remarkable changes this year, and the most important thing we can do through all of these changes is to maintain our energetic state through them. Ultimately, this is the choice that we will have to make in the face of whatever is to come. You'll be presented with a choice to face the event from either a state of fear or a state of love, and the choice that you make and the emotional state you center yourself in will have massive effects on the future that you experience from that point. And half the trick is being aware of it, folks. In whatever situations your life presents you with this year, just be aware of the emotional state you're in facing these choices and facing these situations, facing these crises, whatever they happen to be. I've seen amazing things happen this year already. I've been told that 2012 is the year that the portals are open and that people will transition this year. Those who wish to transition will do so anyway. And I've already had the death of an auntie and the death of a niece within 3 weeks of each other. And almost everybody I know has experienced some type of death or some type of loss within their family circle in this year already, and that was just in the first 2 months. So I can only imagine what is yet to come. For myself, I intend to make this a year of work and a year of real positive change. I intend to keep my nose to the grindstone for virtually this whole year, folks. I think that it's a very, very important milestone in our lives. And I think we're on the verge of something absolutely wonderful. And it would seem the crows agree with me, folks. I seem to have an awful lot of crows hanging around at the moment. So any bird noises you hear in the broadcast today are completely beyond my control, I'm afraid. But after all, it is the Crow House, and so what do you expect? And so, yes, folks, a year of change is what we've been expecting from 2012, and it certainly has every indication of being just that. Changes in almost every aspect of our lives, I imagine. Many changes that we really do not want to see as well. For example, the corporate change that is happening to YouTube is happening this week. It is happening on the 7th of March, and this is the day before the FBI commandeers the servers. And so that's quite interesting. The new corporate YouTube look is, of course, designed to kill all social networking on YouTube and make every channel a very bland and very samey type of channel. None of people's playlists will play in the right order from this point on. None of the comments that people make on their channels will be visible. And it really is the death of YouTube. Many people who have put years of work into building their channel and creating backgrounds and logos and banners for their channels will all lose this work. And it is really quite disgusting to see how little regard for the people the corporate entities that run YouTube are showing to their patrons. It really is. I mean, they create something like YouTube and they get the people to build it up to the wonderful state that it's currently in, and then they take it all away from them and roll out their corporate model over the top, regardless of the wants, the desires, or the needs of the people. And we see this happen in so many ways throughout our society, and we are also seeing it online. There'll be very, very big attempts to control the online situation this year because the truth is rampant online, and the powers that be are going to a massive amount of effort in order to stamp out the knowledge that people are getting from online sources. So yes, folks, March 7th and March 8th will be a very interesting couple of days. And hopefully I will still be able to see you and talk to you next week. Hopefully the internet as we know it will not disappear completely. But, well, you just never know with these people, folks. They're likely to try anything simply because they can. And it's no good thinking that they won't do it because it may disturb the people. They might cause some discomfort to people, because disturbing the people and causing discomfort for the overall population seems to be the typical action of government and corporate interests these days. It's all about more for them and less for everybody else. And that, unfortunately, is the flavour of the corporate world in which we currently live. But I think I've reached the end of the show here now, folks. We are pretty well out of time for the day. And so I'm going to have to leave it here and hope that I can speak to you again next week. Please do stay strong in the face of all the things that we will face this year. Stay true to yourself. Stay true to the people around you. Stay true to your heart. Know who you are, be who you are, and stand in the power that you inherently have, and do not let anyone remove that power from you. It's been a pleasure speaking to you again today. Know that I do love each and every one of you, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. In La Keshe.